What on earth is happening in Canada? Hi friends, it's your boy Francis from Urbanistic. I came to this country in 2019, and while I adore Canada, BC is my favorite place in the world, the actions of the government since I've arrived have been deeply disturbing. This may be the most important video I have done. To those of you watching this from Europe or other countries where cannabis is currently being legalized in some form, let this serve as a warning to you. Before we get into this, please give this video a like, subscribe to the channel, maybe even give this video a share. The algorithm hates this kind of content, so it really helps. Thank you. I'm recording this video from the Heat and Herb store in Nanaimo, which unfortunately has had to close its doors and lay off its staff, hopefully temporarily. I'm going to give you the lowdown on the situation, and then we'll be joined by Heat and Herb's very own Mike Baines to hear firsthand the impact that this strike action is having here in BC. As of today, Friday the 26th of August, 2022, the strike has reached its 11th day with no end in sight. This started on the 15th of August when the BC General Employees Union, also known as the BCGEU, announced strike action at key BC Liquor Distribution Branch warehouse and distribution centres. The BC Liquor Distribution Branch, also known as the BCLDB, is the provincial government entity that has the exclusive distribution rights for liquor and recreational cannabis. Exclusive. We will touch on this word some more throughout the video, but for now I would like to just draw your attention to the Canadian Competition Act, of which the very first sentence, section 1.1, reads, "The purpose of this act is to maintain and encourage competition in Canada in order to promote the efficiency and adaptability of the Canadian economy." Thank you to Simone, aka the Stoned Antihero, for letting me know about this Competition Act. The strike action protests unfair pay and overtime reliance amongst public sector's workers. Although ironically in my experience, these workers are paid more and enjoy more comprehensive benefits than their private sector counterparts. With that being said, I do support their strike and recognize that the striking workers are not the root cause, merely a symptom of a broken industry. The BCGEU traces its origins back to the early 1900s when provincial government employees formed an association to address their working conditions. So more than a century on, and unions are still having to organize against poor and exploitative working conditions. This is like some horrible version of Groundhog Day. It does make me wonder, with all the impressive advances in technology we've realized in the last 100 years, it's not correlated with an improvement in quality of living or working conditions. So what gives with that? Undeniably, technology has ushered in an age of convenience, which is nice. Yeah. Being able to get hot food delivered right to your door. Infinite entertainment at one's fingertips. It's powerful stuff. But what's the cost? It does somewhat feel like the price of this convenience has been the outsourcing of our ability to be self-sufficient into the hands of a small number of unscrupulous individuals, steering the ships of equally unscrupulous corporations and institutions. Cannabis retailers have had a tough go of it since legalization back in October 2018, where businesses were left in the lurch waiting for licenses, often for over a year, while having to pay a lease on a store where they weren't even allowed to sell any cannabis products. They had to wait for zoning permits, permissions from local, provincial, and federal levels of government. That's just too many layers of government to ever be agile or efficient. Once stores actually opened up, they struggled with the new regulations, which still to this day prohibit stores from receiving product samples before buying large wholesale quantities from the government. They're forced to go in blind. Should the product not be good quality or good value for money? Well, tough luck, sonny boy. You brought it, you're stuck with it. But on the other side of that, when the growers sell their product to the government, it had better sell. Because if not, the BCLDB reserves the right to RTV, or return to vendor, the products. So they send it right back and they get a refund. In other words, the government is completely insulated from risk on all sides, while enjoying the lion's share of the profits. Hopefully by now you're appreciating that this is sounding like a pretty tough climate for anyone but the government or huge hedge-funded corporations, neither of which, experience tells us, are very good at growing or selling cannabis. But wait, there's one more piece to the puzzle, which is the ever-expanding presence of stores across BC that go by the name of BC Cannabis Stores and BC Liquor Stores. Yes, these are run by the government-owned entity known as the BCLDB. So in addition to the licensing, wholesale, excise, and provincial tax windfall, the government is also competing on the retail level. So they're competing with your favorite mom and pop shop down the road that's been a community staple for decades. And these government stores are aggressively priced with low margins, which on the face of it may seem to be great for consumers, but it's a trap.
It's a trap!
Now, I worked in one of these government stores for a little while, and I saw firsthand that, let's say, cannabis people, people with cannabis knowledge, they were kept at arm's length from any leadership positions within the organization. There used to be at least some knowledgeable bud tenders, but most of these were fired when the mandates came into play, and that's where my sympathy for BCGEU slightly starts to wane, because they sat and watched while good people were fired because of a mandate that was and still is purely political. They did nothing. And now they're bringing the industry to its knees, killing off small businesses and causing mass unemployment in the sector to fight for, realistically, a small pay rise for a small group of people when what's actually drastically needed is widespread reform. So the strikes are on top of this backdrop, and striking workers means no inventory shipments to stores, which means stores like this are having to close their doors and let their workers go. As always, the small, independent outlets are the ones who suffer the most. But I do want to say again, complete solidarity with the striking workers. There's never been a better time to unite, and I'm proud to say the cannabis community is showing solidarity with the striking workers, despite the damage it's causing to so many small businesses. And this is a beautiful thing. Thank you. One shining example of the community is Corey Waldron, owner of Mood Cannabis. They operate two stores in Nanaimo. Corey is a champion within the local and wider cannabis community. He employs an incredible team, strives to provide outstanding service, and supports his local community wherever possible. He just had to lay off 90% of his staff. There was perhaps some light at the end of the tunnel with direct delivery being rolled out, which would allow producers, growers, to send product directly to stores, circumventing the whole government distribution setup, which actually still benefits the government because they reduce their overheads, their costs, but still collect the same duties and markups that we discussed earlier. However, as per an update from Smoker Farms, who received word from the BCLDB, due to the strike action, this direct delivery program is being suspended indefinitely with the government citing labor shortages. And I'm calling complete bull on that. The whole point of the damn program is to reduce the reliance on the government, which we are clearly seeing here is very much needed. I do not doubt a lightweight direct delivery program could be rolled out in a matter of days by a skeleton crew of people. Plus, the tech guys are most probably based at the headquarter offices, not the actual warehouse where the strikes are taking place. So in all likelihood, this is a complete farce, and there are probably some ulterior motives at play here. What are those motives? I'm not sure. If you have any thoughts, drop a comment, let me know. Now, if the legal system fails, consumers go back to the black market, which is still alive and well. As we've seen, you can try to ban a substance, but you ain't never stopping the supply and consumption. It is the very definition of the word futile. So my question is this: why are those that have stepped up into the legal realm being punished and milked for cash? And there does seem to be quite a bit of milking going on here. I'd go as far to say as the government is quietly raking in cash while workers across both public and private sectors struggle with significantly increasing living costs, a crumbled healthcare system, and a country that's seeing more division than ever. Now, speaking of money, as of May 2022, The province says it has received over $112 million in federal excise duty payments from cannabis and over $91 million in PST, provincial sales tax, on cannabis sales. In the 2020 to 21 BCLDB annual report, we can actually see that they generated a staggering $1.16 billion in profit. So they're willing to sacrifice your small family business over some snickle fritz. The government hates us, don't they? At the very least, they're certainly treating us with contempt. I know people that have put everything into running a store. Cash, time, energy, blood, sweat, tears, and they genuinely don't know if they're going to survive this. They are the stores paying living wage. If we allow this to happen, we continue to consolidate wealth and control to the corporations who are the very architects of this mess. And now I'm joined by Mike Baines of Heat and Herb. Mike, thanks for joining me today. Unfortunate circumstances, of course.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me. Appreciate everything you've been doing in the industry and just helping eliminate that stigma and moving forward. I will follow a lot of what you do. So thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate what you're doing as well. Like, you know, you're paying everyone a living wage here. It's a great store. You have really reasonable pricing. Can I ask you to kind of tell me a little bit about how the last couple weeks has been for you?
Yeah, just, excuse me. First, I just want to say I would like to apologize to anyone who counts on us to get their medicine. At the end of the day, those are the people that are going to be most affected. And I just, you know, really want to apologize that we had to close our doors to you first and foremost. The last few weeks have been similar to the last couple of years. A lot pushing against, you know, the mom and pop shops, and just if you take it all the way back to the micros as well, you know, we've had to wait and wait, and we've done that, and now that we're in the game, we're still getting pushed back, and I think that there's a lot that needs to change if we want to see this industry succeed.
Thanks. I know it seems very kind of unfair, and I assume this is your business model because this is my local store, so I come in here a lot. I know you guys purposely stock a small amount of products and like a small inventory of products. And the reason for that, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to assume is we know about the government distribution being quite a long, complex supply chain. So, you know, the way I see it is you guys are doing everything you can to make sure the product that here is the highest quality and also the freshest possible. And so it seems devastating that obviously that's probably hit you guys pretty quickly with not being able to get any stock. Were you given like any advance notice of this, or like how did it come around?
No advance notice. So we got the 72 hour like everyone else got. Officially now we've missed two deliveries at this location in Nanaimo, and we've missed two deliveries at our West Broadway location in Vancouver. And yeah, we're definitely being punished for having a well-curated menu. You know, we carry products of companies that we want to support and we want to see succeed, and people that do business the right way. And, you know, in this space, honestly, they're few and far between. So our menu was limited to a well-curated menu. And yeah, that hurt us for sure. Because, you know, we're not stocking a lot of Pubco herb. We're not buying everything that drops. You know, we take pride in what's on our menu. And we know no matter what, if you come in and you grab something from our store, whether it's, you know, the lower end or the higher end, it's going to be quality for what you paid. And that definitely hurt us the last 2 weeks, you know, and yeah, for sure.
Right on, man. Well, look, this is my local store. It's near and dear to me. I love the whole fam here, man. You've got great staff. You're a great guy yourself. So thanks for joining me. And look, I hope with all my heart we can fill these shelves back up soon.
Yeah, I hope so. And I just hope that this leads to some type of long-term change that'll actually help the industry succeed. You know, it's... We have staff with us that have been with us since 2014, and we've had to have some really tough conversations the last week here or so. And this might be the shakeup that's needed, and hopefully it goes in the right direction from here.
One last question. Are you tempted at all to fill the store with black market products or you know, anything along those lines to plug the supply gap that the government has created?
Well, let's make no mistake about it. This is still BC, and that gap is being filled instantly. Whether it's, you know, people like me that are going to make a leap, there's plenty of people already filling that gap. The only reason we have legalization and stores is because of the people that took the chance, opened a store without a license, pushed normalization of cannabis, and yeah, sometimes you got to push the bounds.
Thanks, Mike.
Now, what I want you to do is look at the picture of the kittens in a barrel.
Yeah.
Look at them, they're the whale of a time. They're all happy. One on the left's Philip.
Philip.
Look at Philip's eyes.
He's got little eyes.
Whenever you're feeling a bit angry, I want you to look at Philip.
Look at his face.
And your anger will recede like an ocean.
Thanks, Nabo.
That'll be 159 euros.
159. Look at his little face.